You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Today it is a Thursday edition of the Gym Class, setting sail here on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. Got a great show coming up for you today as Tom Cakert is going to join us, and we're going to talk about Big Ten Media Days. Tom was there. Plenty to discuss, not only as far as the Iowa Hawkeyes are concerned, but also the rest of the Big Ten. So we will do that with Tom coming up in just a little bit. Is the Big 12 officially expanding? It's not official yet, all but official, as Colorado, after saying goodbye 12 years ago, is now looking to get back into the Big 12 and into the good graces of the Big 12. So we'll talk about that. A little baseball and a little bit about last night's match as well between the United States and the Netherlands. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you. Again, 319-366-1600. That is our phone line as well. If you'd like to pick up the phone and give us a call, we'd love to hear from you. Always like to interact with our listeners on the program. Again, that is 319-366-1600. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going and visiting our presenting sponsor's website, DuPaco. And a big thanks to DuPaco Community Credit Union. And again, online at DuPaco.com. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Isaac with you here today. And we got a lot to get to, so why don't we just go ahead and hit it here today in Eastern Iowa. Mark, how you doing?
Doing well. Good afternoon, Scott, Isaac, everyone out there. And excuse me a minute while I wipe my brow.
You know what, though? Two good pieces of news. I don't think it's as bad as yesterday. And the second piece of news is, if you look at the radar, there is a little bit of green off to the west. Hoping it stays together, because that could cool it off, and we need rain bad. So, hey, I'm going to be positive today after watching two lousy days, after not watching for a month, and then last night. I'm staying positive here today, Mark, staying positive. Let's start with Big Ten Media Days in Indianapolis. We're going to talk with Tom Cakert coming up here in just a little bit, but an interesting day. You had Jim Harbaugh meeting with the Big Ten media assembled in Indianapolis and basically saying, when he's not talking about J.J. McCarthy as the greatest quarterback to ever play the game, was saying that he can't answer questions right now about the ongoing investigation into him and Michigan football. I think that was actually overshadowed a little bit by P.J. Fleck, Mark. P.J. Fleck, of course, yesterday, if you were paying close attention to what happened around the Big Ten, I don't even think the word allegations is the correct word, but a report anyway from a website saying that there's a toxicity about the Minnesota football program, a couple of disgruntled former players perhaps reporting that. P.J. Fleck addressed that today. In fact, it was our friend Scott Docterman of The Athletic who posed the question for Coach Fleck. I thought P.J. Fleck gave the greatest answer, whether it's a football coach, politician, you name it. I thought he gave about the greatest answer to that question I have ever heard. And basically, I think almost put an end to it with about a two-minute response. What'd you think?
I heard a little bit of Fleck. I didn't hear that part. But, you know, yesterday we talked about this front office sports piece that was online. Quite a lengthy story. And I almost have regrets about repeating a lot of it because I think it's, I don't know anything about front office sports. It's you know, credibility. I probably should have checked it out, but maybe it's a very credible story. But my feeling is that you can probably find two former players in any program across the country and get a story like this. I could be wrong.
I would agree with you. I would agree with you. Basically, PJ Fleck went through every part of the question. There are no Fleck Bank, Fleck Coins are about as good as Schrute Dollars if you're an Office fan. Isaac, do you like that? Are you an Office fan, by the way? Were you?
I am, yes.
Yeah, me too. About as relevant as Schrute Dollars. There was nothing to it. It was something that PJ Fleck said he used as an analogy when he first came on the scene as the Gopher coach back in 17. And it had nothing to do with any discipline, getting out of any problems, et cetera, et cetera. He then went through and basically categorized everything, the different avenues that players have to go through. Six different avenues that players can go through, how discipline works, broke that down at the University of Minnesota as far as the athletic department, the football program, and everything is concerned. He gave the most concise answer and basically put a big old ribbon on any talk about that. And good for PJ Fleck. I've always been a fan of PJ Fleck. Ever since the days at Western Michigan, I thought he did a great job today.
Sure sounds like it, but remember, that's PJ's side of the story.
It is true. And like you said, though, there's always going to be disgruntled players no matter what program you take a look at. But I thought he did a great job of, I don't even want to say deflecting the story, but almost, I think, stopping the story. 319-366-1600.
It's not only in sports, in every walk of life, in business. You work for a company, you're going to have a couple people who are maybe feel mistreated, disgruntled, disagree with the company policies, what have you. I think it's brought more to the front and center in sports. But you see it in all walks of life.
Yeah, I would agree. 319-366-1600. Text line, that is the phone line as well, as we come your way on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM, presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. So we'll talk more about Big Ten Media Days as they wrap up in Indianapolis. We're going to do that with Tom Caker, the Hawkeye Report. He was there, and we're going to talk with him about not only Iowa, but everything going on as far as the Big Ten is concerned. Speaking of the Big Ten, we got a poll question for you at KGYMRadio.com. It's brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement, Highway 1 West in Iowa City. They've been serving customers since 2003. And a lot of talk about this today as well. Should the Big Ten move the date of the Ohio State-Michigan game for future schedules? What are your thoughts? Go ahead and vote. That is our poll question at KGYMRadio.com. We don't have East-West next year, and Ohio State-Michigan, unless they start changing schedules, are going to stay the final game of the year for the next 2 years. When those schedules came out about a month ago, the 24 and 25 schedules. Yeah, we're going to see Ohio State-Michigan play in the Big Ten championship game a few times. You're going to have the possibility of another rematch, no matter what it is. Don't forget USC and UCLA are coming into the fold, and it's going to be an unbalanced schedule. There are going to be teams that are going to play Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, USC. There are going to be teams that may play only one of those teams. It's not going to be fair. There's going to be a lot of, you know, finger wringing, if you will, about this from here on in. Might not see Ohio State, Michigan very often. I don't know.
And that would be a shame. In reference to the poll question, I would vote a big fat no. But we've seen other traditional end of season rivalries go by the wayside. So, I mean, this could be moved to, you know, an earlier date in the future. I don't know. But I just think it belongs on the last weekend of the regular season.
I think it's going to take a lot to move that game off the final Saturday. Keep in mind, television has a great deal to do with this as well. And television loves to have Ohio State, Michigan at 11 a.m. Central Time, 12 noon, on that last Saturday in November. They really, really do.
They do. And some folks might say, well, what about Iowa, Iowa State? Well, the big difference there is that it's a non-conference game. Ohio State, Michigan has and always will be. Not, I shouldn't say always, should I?
No, never say that.
That is a conference game.
Yeah. Yeah, never say that because of what we're going to talk about next. By the way, 319-366-1600. Isaac with a fan at 0905. Keep up the good work, he says.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Don't.
He likes my soccer updates. I know that, 0905. I've seen that before.
Oh, it's coming.
Yeah, don't worry. I got it on lock.
All right. Soccer update coming up here in just a little bit. News from college sports breaking last night going into today. Nothing official as of yet, although the Big 12 opening its arms to the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark. Colorado meeting last night with several boards, okaying everything. Big 12, as I mentioned, sounds like they would welcome in the Buffs back after a decade plus of exodus over to the Pac-12. And as you mentioned, traditions, they don't stick around forever. Perhaps we'll see Colorado on Black Friday taking on maybe a Utah. Who knows? Who knows where this is all going to go? But I think the buzzards are circling around the Pac-12 right now, Mark. Not sure what's going to happen. If you're Oregon, you're nervous right now. I think if you're Stanford, you're nervous right now. The University of Washington, you're very nervous at this point. How many teams can the Big 12 take? I can't imagine they're going to stick with an odd number starting in 2024. There's going to be, you know, somebody that's probably going to come from the Pac-12 besides Colorado. Could be Utah. There's talk of the Arizonas making a move as well. What's this mean for the Conference of Champions, as Bill Walton likes to say? Is it done?
Well, I think Utah makes too much sense now with BYU in the Big 12 fold. I mean, I've always thought of Colorado as a Big 12 team, even though it's been in the Pac-12 for more than a decade, 62 years in the Big 12. In my mind, there's two reasons Colorado wants back into the Big 12.
Two?
Number one, Deion Sanders is pressed it. Number two, 31.7 million reasons, and that would be the media share that Colorado would get from the Big 12.
Maybe I'm old-fashioned. I just cannot get past the whole, okay, 13 years ago, you had nothing good to say or didn't want anything to do with the current, basically the current group that is in this particular conference. And that was basically due to meteorites then as it is now. And all of a sudden, well, it had to do with Texas as well. And all of a sudden now, maybe just because Texas is leaving along with Oklahoma, who knows? But as you mentioned, more than 31 million reasons why Colorado suddenly is a big fan of said Big 12 conference. Once again, does this mean in 12 more years they're going to be departing for the SEC or the ACC Pac-12 agreement mega conference? of two coasts, which could happen. Who knows? I'm not putting anything out of the realm of possibility right now.
No, and the landscape has changed in a very short period of time since Colorado left the Big 12. And if you'll remember, Scott, that wasn't a bad football program.
No.
Bill McCartney led them to, I think, a Big 12 championship game. They've had terrific players. Rashad Salam, the running back, among others that I can think of. Pretty good, solid program at one time. Right now,
Eric Bieniemy, also former Colorado Buff. On the text line, 5935, says the Big 10 should just take those big teams in the Pac-12 and make it the Big 10 West. No, no, we're done with the Big 10 West. We're done with the Big 10 West. We're done with the Big 10 East. that's not going to happen. As far as Ohio State, Michigan, 71-78 weighing in the Big 10, what happens if one team supposedly goes undefeated in the Big 10 while not playing Ohio State or Michigan? If one of those teams inevitably loses, would the losing team not be in the Big 10 championship? Yeah, that's going to be it. These schedules are not going to be equal. Not that they were under the divisional setup, but you played the rest of your divisional schools. Was it fair and equitable? No. Is it going to be less fair and equitable in the future? Absolutely. And yeah, if Ohio State, Michigan play the last week from now, through perpetuity, that losing team is going to have one loss and may end up losing out on tiebreakers. Who knows?
Like I said, UCLA have played the last game of the regular season too, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
With their home uniforms, which is classic and great. And that should never change, but I'm sure it will at some point. How can you forget? How can we forget Cordell Stewart / says Matt in Fairfax, another great Colorado Buffalo. I'm sorry, I forgot about him. There have been others, too.
Yeah, I just threw a name out there. Thank you, Matt.
You bet, Matt. Appreciate it. 319-366-1600. We heard from the brand-new minted Big Ten commissioner yesterday that he and the Big Ten, at least their public stance right now, is not really in the market after USC and UCLA come in next year as far as expansion is concerned. Do you believe that? I guess you do for the moment. But again, if the buzzards start circling Pac-12 schools, you got USC and UCLA way out there in the West Coast. Are you still going to turn down folks that are inquiring, say a Stanford, who's got a pretty darn good athletic program? Yeah, the football program's been down the last couple of years, but overall, Stanford is a very, very, very good athletic program. Do you bring in a Cal, a Wash? I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen, but I never say never when it comes to college realignment.
Unless the Pac-12 totally falls apart, and I suppose it's a possibility, I just think the Big Ten should stay pat right now. Just stand pat and let this play out for the next few seasons. Having said that, there'll probably be an announcement tomorrow about 2025.
Well, maybe 2026. Maybe 2026. And the Pac-12 hasn't exactly let Colorado go yet. Keep that in mind. There's going to be a big exit fee for that, and who knows? Maybe they're going to fight the fact that Deion Sanders wants to take his big cowboy hat and go back to the Big 12. We'll see. We're going to talk with Phil Steele is going to join us coming up next week. I am really anxious always to talk to Phil, but I'm really anxious to talk with him about the Colorado Buffaloes because this is, and you and I talked about this earlier today, Mark, and that is the fact that they are the biggest storyline in college football this year. Tell me a bigger storyline than Deion Sanders and Colorado this year. How he has basically reassembled that program, basically cutting loose, and that's, I think, a nice way to put it, three-quarters of the roster, turning it over, just, you know, basically getting all new, as he says, all new furniture in the house. And if that works for him, you don't think others are going to try to do that in the future? This is, it's going to be a lot of fun watching how things transpire in Boulder, Colorado this year.
It will. Storyline number two, I want to see in what way J.J. McCarthy looks anything like Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen. As Jim Harbaugh referenced today, some of the characteristics of some of the great NFL quarterbacks. Come on, Jim. Come on.
Made those comparisons. We're going to talk a little baseball with you after we talk to Tom Kakert as well. Text line, as I mentioned, always open at 319-366-1600. Mm-hmm. Or followed by the Todd Brommelkamp Show from 4 until 6. He's got your next chance to win Jeff Dunham tickets for the Iowa State Fair. And he'll have those sometime between 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock playing Who Said That? So tune in today between 4 and 6. Before we get to Mark and an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update, Isaac, I never thought I would say that I tuned in to women's soccer match about 75% more than my favorite baseball team last night, but I did that. It was a draw.
Yeah.
Good, bad, ugly? What do you think?
Frustrating. It was really, really frustrating. I don't understand really what the coach for the United States was trying to do. I didn't like the starting lineup. I didn't like only using one sub. The entire match was really confusing to me. I don't know why you wouldn't take out like Sullivan, your defensive midfielder, and put in another forward so you can play with a two striker set. And really, in the final 10 minutes there, when you really kind of got going, wouldn't someone like Lynn Williams, and who's really, really fast and really exploit, you know, Netherlands lack of speed at the back, and really put him on the back foot and try to get a game winner. I just didn't understand that. I don't agree with it. The first half was really ugly.
It was.
They couldn't even touch the ball, it felt like, at times. Netherlands was just doing one touch passes, dinging around all over the field. Second half was a lot better, but still, I don't see, the style of play doesn't really seem like it's there. They just rely on these great moments from, you know, great players. When you look at like the Netherlands, they have a clear tactical style, which is they have triangles set up everywhere. They're passing it all around, trying to create really good chances for their players. And it's not the same for the United States.
See, we got a soccer fan calling in.
I think that was usually there's a test call once a day to make sure the phone still works. I believe that is what it was.
Isaac, the USA appeared to take the lead at 2-1, and to a novice, explain offside to me.
Oh Lord.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to explain. It's the last. If you're farther than the last defender, other than the goalkeeper. So if you, there has to be pretty much two people in front of the last person, or the ball has to be in front of the person you're passing to when you kick it, is the best way I can describe it. So when the pass gets made, there's two people in front of that person, or the ball is in front of that person, if that makes sense.
And they're usually, well, it's like in hockey. And they're usually very, very close.
It's really close, yeah. And they have the VAR system, which still, every now and then, I'll see a decision made on the replay system, and I'm like, I don't see how that is offside, right? I don't see how that's not offside, but offside is one of those that's really confusing to describe. You know it when you see it.
Still in decent shape to move on. good shape to move on.
Yeah, have to play well against Portugal. I think they got to score three. It'll be tough because Portugal is a really defensive team. I don't even know if they can. They'll move on. They'll move on. I don't see them losing to Portugal. I see them at least getting a draw out of that game, most likely a win out of that game. But if they want to finish first in the group and get an easier draw for the knockout stages, they gotta win that one by multiple goals, because I think Netherlands might beat Vietnam by at least three, and then
that 3-0 game against Vietnam is going to come back to haunt the American
team. Yeah, I think they really should have taken advantage. And this comes back to the Netherlands game too. The offense hasn't looked great. They have not been scoring the way that they typically do. The attack just hasn't looked really potent like it had in years past. So, it was just a really frustrating game with kind of the tactical. I think the head coach for the U.S. women's team got, outclassed by the Netherlands coach.
Oh, there we go. All right. When's the next game?
Oh, for the U.S.?
When's the game against Portugal? It's next week.
Yeah, it's next week. And it's going to be a 2 a.m. game. Because they play those if it's the final group stage game, so no one has an unfair advantage. They play them at the same time. So the Netherlands will play Vietnam at the same time as USA is playing Portugal.
Wonderful. I will not be staying up. I'll catch the highlights. All right, Mark, let's throw it to you for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update before we get to a break. And Tom Kakert, it's brought to you by Emil's. They're on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Lindale Mall. They're open at 4 o'clock today.
In the Miami Dolphins camp, cornerback Jalen Ramsey was carted to the locker room with apparent left knee injury. And the Dolphins are kind of holding their breath in that regard. Only a handful of Major League Baseball games today, and we'll get to the trades coming up. But first of two, a doubleheader, the Angels in Detroit. Shohei Ohtani pitched a complete game one-hitter and a 6-0 Angels victory. First complete game in Ohtani's career. Two games of note tonight: the Cubs at the Cardinals, and Cleveland at the White Sox. A little bit of golf news. At a benefit in Cleveland, Ohio, 15-year-old Joseph Malouf recorded 3 holes-in-1 in 24 swings. How do you do that? Well, he was stationed. He's a member of the state championship team for which they were having a benefit. He was stationed on the 16th hole, and as if you ever played in an event like this, you might have one player who will tee off for every group, and for a donation you can use that player's shot. There was 24 groups. Malouf made 3 aces.
Three more than me. Thank you, Mark, for that. Appreciate it. There's a great story with that, but I don't have time to tell it right now. It's not about me getting a hole in one, by the way. We'll take a break, come back, and Tom Kakert's going to join us. We'll wrap up Big Ten Media Days, get Tom's thoughts about it when we return after this. You're listening to The Gym Class on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on The Gym.
I'm meteorologist Kason Ferrix with a check of your forecast. Hot and humid conditions across eastern Iowa this afternoon. Temperatures will be reaching into the upper 90s, but heat index values will make it feel closer to 105 and 110 degrees. For your Thursday night, we are tracking in a slight chance for maybe an isolated shower or thunderstorm. Temperatures will be falling back into the mid-70s. For your Friday, mostly sunny, but a chance for showers and thunderstorms, some that could be on the stronger side in the afternoon and evening. Temperatures will be reaching back into the upper 90s. And that was a check of your Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system.
Good sportsmanship matters during the game and in life.
So Fairfax State Savings Bank and the gym are proud to shine the spotlight on KGYM's community MVP.
Recognizing good sports around here and letting you know how to get in the game too.
Walk to defeat ALS August 20th at Kingston Stadium in Cedar Rapids. It's the number one way to unite and fundraise for those living with ALS. Register today and help the Iowa chapter of the ALS Association provide local family assistance and research to unlock ALS.
Details at kgymradio.com. Click on Community MVP.
Fairfax State Savings Bank is a true community bank, believing service still comes with a local touch. Since 1924, Fairfax State Savings Bank provides secure, honest, relationship-based banking. They understand the little things that make our community special. Strong personal connections, sincere friendliness, and a sense of pride in local growth. And that's how they've succeeded for nearly a century. Learn more at thebankhere.com. Fairfax State Savings Bank in Fairfax, Amana, and Cedar Rapids. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The biggest pro football contests in Vegas are back and bigger than ever with $14 million in guaranteed prizes only at Circa Sports. Enter Nevada, play from anywhere.
Two ways to win and no rake. Play Circa Million, make five picks against the spread each week with quarterly and full season payouts, or join Circa Survivor, where you select one team each week straight up, last the longest to win it all.
$14 million in guaranteed prizes. Visit CircaSports.com for details.
Back at 3:35, Thursday edition of the Gym Class right here on KGYM. Thanks for joining us. Don't forget, Todd Brommelkamp's show coming your way next from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. Big Ten Football Media Days wrapping up today in Indianapolis. Kirk Ferentz met the media yesterday, as seven coaches yesterday, seven more today, including Jim Harbaugh and P.J. Fleck. And there to cover it all, our next guest, our friend Tom Kakert from Hawkeye Report, joining us here. And you got it all taken care of. You got it all in. More importantly, how many trips to either the Beef House or St. Elmo's?
Well, I actually jetted, because I wasn't with the Iowa contingent who did jet, but came back last night because there was a women's basketball availability today, and I wanted to talk to Lisa Bluter and company before they headed off to the Amalfi Coast in Croatia next week. So, but I did get the Kirk Ferentz and six other coach experience and the Beef House last night.
Awesome.
So that was good.
Awesome. Very. Did you throw a roll?
No, but I ate plenty of them.
Very good. Very good. Kirk yesterday, interesting things, I think, that he had to say. About the gambling, certainly. That question coming up. And I for me anyway, and let me know if you disagree with this, Tom, I think that Kirk and the rest of everyone in the Iowa football program or the athletic department thought this thing was going to be wrapped up by now. Didn't. Noah Shannon couldn't go. And then Kirk came up with his statement yesterday. And what do you think? Your thoughts or something else?
Yeah, that was my thought too. But I also think Kirk would have been perfectly fine with Noah going. I don't think he views whatever punishment Noah is going to have, and we don't know what that is yet, but I don't think he's viewing it as it's going to be a serious issue based on what we know about kind of the progression of how the NCAA is going to look at this in some of the guidelines that they laid out probably about a month ago from them about, if you bet this, or you bet this, or you bet this, this is a punishment. So I think he feels pretty comfortable about where Noah's going to land on that. But Noah feels terrible about it, is what Kirk said. And I think Kirk's message was more along the lines of, it's the reality of where things are today, and maybe we got to deal with it in a different manner. And kind of tend to agree with him on it.
Tom, where is this going to get resolved? Is it the DCI, the NCAA? Knowing that the level of gambling probably different from player to player.
Yeah, I think it's just an NCAA thing, and I think they have to gather all their information. The thing today is they know, because I would guess all of them did this online on their phone, and so there's a record of what they bet on. So it's not like they can say, "Oh, I didn't bet on this." You got to show me a betting slip where I bet on this, and they can show them those things because DraftKings and FanDuel and all of those folks have records of every bet that is placed. So they can go back and they can see if they bet on, an Iowa game, for example. Maybe not football, maybe basketball, maybe women's basketball. So they can do that. And I think they're going to gather that information, tell them what the penalties are, and then I think there's going to be an appeals process. From what Kirk said, there's attorneys that are representing all the players, and I think it's maybe one person who's representing all the players, and they're working through this with the NCAA is kind of my understanding of what Kirk said yesterday.
Also yesterday, Kirk doesn't throw a lot of praise around readily, as you know. No. But he had a lot of good things to say about his offensive line. Thinks they could be, in a month, really good. I don't know if surprise is the right word, but I may have been taken aback by that a little bit.
It caught my attention right away because just having covered Kirk for over 20 years, when he starts, he's not one to kind of pump things up a little bit. He's normally the guy that kind of, let's wait and see. He's kind of tamping down expectations. And this was one of those occasions where he's like, he basically said, last couple of years, this offensive line's been pretty young and pretty inexperienced, and we've asked some guys to do some things that they probably weren't ready to do. He used Connor Colby, from Cedar Rapids as an example. It's like, he's a veteran guy, and Kirk's like, this is his third year in the program this year. So it's not like he's got it's not like he's a fourth year redshirt where he's, in his fifth year of the program. And they've been asking some of these guys to do a lot. He brought up Logan Jones last year. Logan didn't really kind of get under center and do snaps in live situations until spring ball of last year. So, and by September he was starting, and the year before that he was playing defensive line. So he's basically telling us these guys were asked to do a lot of stuff really early. Jennings Dunker, who's listed as a starting right tackle, another example, he was banged up his redshirt freshman year, so he really didn't even do much in scout. And then last year, he was asked to play quite a bit. So it's his message of kind of telling us, usually you need like 3 years to be ready to go to be an offensive lineman. And because of some misses, some injuries, what have you, didn't have that. And so these guys, he thinks they're ready. And he gave a ringing endorsement to offensive line coach George Barnett as well.
Tom, in your mind, who might fans, maybe even me, be overlooking in terms of a super impactful player this coming year, aside from Cade McNamara? I mean, you've got a lot of portal players. Yep. Nick Jackson, the two wide receivers, or at least Caleb Brown, on and on. What say you?
One of them might. I'll give you a couple guys. Jay Higgins, who was in Indianapolis yesterday, and that was kind of a cool story too, even though Noah Shannon didn't get to go, but Jay being an Indianapolis kid and his folks showing up there, and his mom and dad and his sister were at Lucas Oil, even though they couldn't come in, but they were there to greet them when he arrived there and got to see him. That's pretty cool stuff. And maybe we're kind of overlooking him a little bit. And one that'll sound silly because he was, All-American five-star kid, but I think we see Xavier Wampa take that jump that Cooper DeJean took last year and kind of becomes more of a big impact player. The other guy, Deontay Craig, I don't think is getting enough attention. I think he's a potential All-Big Ten player. I've always been pretty big Ethan Herkett fan, and he's kind of been dinged up a lot. He had the knee injury early on, but I think he's going to have a pretty good year as well. And those are guys just on the defensive side, but offensive side, Nick DeYoung's getting a lot of buzz, and he's in the starting lineup ahead of Colby, which is really surprising to me. But I've heard some really good things about him from spring ball, so I would maybe keep an eye on the senior who's battled some injuries as well, and hopefully has a big senior season.
Yeah.
What about players out of the portal though, Tom? Aside from Mac,
Eric Hall is the guy that I really like. I think he's they've got a chance to have maybe one of the best tight end duos in the country, because Luke Lachey is arrows pointing way up, and Eric Ball was all Big Ten level before he got hurt, and by all accounts that I've heard from everybody that's talked to him and seen him in action, he looks terrific and ready to go after having to have some surgery done last year and missing basically the entire season. I would keep an eye on him for sure.
Tom, a lot of people commenting on the just the admiration of Cade McNamara, his ability to lead, not only in the Iowa camp, but obviously with Jim Harbaugh and others.
Yeah. Yeah, he is just being around him a little bit. You can see why guys kind of gravitate towards him. He's just kind of got that magnetic personality, and there's a lot of stuff that was written recently, but it's just kind of to illustrate it. You know, Joe Evans, Iowa kid, tough, hard-nosed kid. He did not like Cade when he arrived in Iowa City. He thought, who is this guy? He's just going to come in here and, he's probably got a big NIL deal and a hot shot or whatever. And now he and Cade are best friends. They go everywhere together, and they're roommates. So it's just, they've just become tight, and that just tells you Cade's personality. He can win anybody over and make them his friend. And that speaks well, I think, to his leadership abilities that I think we're going to see on the field this year.
Several stories since the offseason. Let's put Northwestern aside for a minute. What do you make? And Harbaugh spoke to this today, saying he can't speak to it, but him possibly sitting out four games. And the story that dropped yesterday on PJ Fleck, and he responded to that today.
Really, really well, too.
Yeah, and I talked to somebody yesterday close to the Minnesota thing, and they made it, the PJ Fleck thing, seem like it was kind of just some disgruntled players, a couple of them that have been a lot of bark and no bite to what they've done, and never really went through official channels, and they just their experience at Minnesota didn't go well for them, so they're taking it out on PJ. So I don't know that there's going to be a whole lot to go on there. I think that's just one of those stories that came about simply because of what happened at Northwestern. As far as Harbaugh, I think it's always the dumb thing with some of these things that coaches and public figures and everybody just don't realize. Just own what you did and move forward. I mean, it's about buying some hamburgers for guys. It's like, just say, yeah, I did it, and then it's just over with, and there's no punishment. But when you cover it up and you tell them you don't own up to it, then it just makes it worse, and then they're just going to crack down on you worse. It's just, I'll never understand why people just don't own up to mistakes.
Tom Caker joining us, Thursday edition of the Gym Class at 3:48. A question on the text line for you. What about Cooper DeJean's impact this year? And I would assume that would be not only as maybe one of the better corners in the Big Ten, defensive play, preseason player of the year, but maybe the impact as well as perhaps are we going to see him returning, and how much are we going to see him returning kicks or punts?
Yeah, I think he's still going to be returning punts. I don't know that they're going to take him off of that, even though they're, I think, a little thin at the cornerback position. But Cooper's just so good there. And the other question was about, I asked him about it yesterday, and he got kind of a smile on his face. I said, do we see out there an offense a little bit? Because I know Cade was campaigning quietly within the building for that to happen on a limited basis. So I don't know if it's going to happen for sure now, because I just think they are a little cognizant of the fact that they're thin at corner. By the way, we did find out yesterday one sport that because Cooper was like a four-sport athlete in high school, and just, you know, football, basketball, track, and baseball, and he was great at all of them. Found out what the sport he can't do very well. He admitted he cannot play tennis.
Well, I don't know how big a tennis program they had at Oldenbold Arthur Battle Creek Ida Grove, so.
Say that five times fast, right?
Then it just becomes OABCIG.
Yeah. Hey, Tom, do you agree with those Wisconsin, with the Cleveland.com poll? Wisconsin to win the West, albeit narrowly, over Iowa. And a small second part, your dark horse in the West.
I was actually a voter this year in that poll, so I can tell you what I voted. And I voted for Iowa over Wisconsin. I just have my doubts about Wisconsin trying to change their offense. It seems like relatively significantly with Phil Longo coming in and maybe throwing it around. And I've heard the spring, it did not look great. So, but I do think that the Iowa-Wisconsin game is probably the winner ends up being the representative for the Big Ten in the final Big Ten West versus East. So, and if I had a dark horse, I would probably say I'll throw Illinois out there.
Yep.
I just think they've got a lot of change on the offensive side, and I that is probably a concern. And they lost their DC, but the Jim Leonard pickup is a sneaky good one. And even though he can't be there on Saturdays on the field, it's still a good set of eyes in the film room. It's going to be looking at things. So we'll see. But I Big Bert, as he's known, is building the program there, and he's getting his kind of guys in that program.
And defense travels, and Illinois has got two of the best in the Big Ten on that defense. Do not underestimate them. No Caitlin Clark today, but before we let you go, what did Coach Bluder have to say?
Yeah, no Caitlin today. She was under the weather, and I can attest to this because my son is under the weather too. There's some sort of bug going around with the younger folk right now. So, and with them going over to leaving for the Amalfi Coast and Italy next week, Lisa did not want to take a chance of seeing something run through the program just before the trip. So sent Caitlin home, but where they, got to talk to Lisa a little bit about if any of those bigs are stepping forward. And I think she's pretty happy with Hannah Solke, and she's pretty happy with Addison O'Grady, and I think Sharon Goodman looks better. She's not wearing that big, bulky knee brace. But she said nobody's kind of grabbed the center job yet. So it's not like somebody's gone out there and said, okay, there's your starter. So I think this trip and three games that they're going to play, one in Italy and two in Croatia, is going to help them to she wants to experiment a little bit and see different lineups, and then that might include some Anastolki in the five spot. So we'll see how it all shakes out. But I'm pretty interested to see what they do, and also the men's team will be over in France and Spain right around the same time.
Yes, they will. Yes, they will. Tom, thanks for the time and the info. Keep up the great work, and we'll talk to you around the corner when football gets underway.
Sounds great, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Tom Cakert joining us here on the Gym Class. Tom with Hawkeye Report. 3:53, quick break, come back. Have more for you after this.
Get ready for Oktoberfest in Uptown Marion September 16th. Sample tasty suds from 30 Iowa breweries. Enjoy live music and games. Your general admission ticket includes access to breweries and a commemorative tasting glass. There's also a VIP option that gets you in an hour early with exclusive samples and swag. Raise your glass at Oktoberfest September 16th along 7th Avenue in Uptown Marion. Presented by Sheets Forest Draper Insurance and the Marion Chamber of Commerce. Get your tickets now at eventbrite.com. Must be 21 or older.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Our thanks to Tom Cakert for joining us. Coming up tomorrow, Friday Topic. And we've spent so much time talking about underrated, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to go with the Big East tomorrow. Greatest teams of all time. Boom. Hit it. Soccer, doesn't matter. Isaac, come up with your greatest soccer teams of all time. 27 Yankees, if you love them, throw them out there. We're going to talk about the greatest pro college. I don't know if high school is going to be debatable. They're all debatable, but we're going to talk about that coming up tomorrow and on our Friday topic here on the Gym Class on KGYM. Trades are starting. Carlos Santana going from the Pirates to the Brewers today. I must say, Mark, I'm in a very melancholy mood because I knew this was coming. But it's never easy to accept when the first one comes down, which happened last night for the White Sox at about 11 o'clock when we all found out that Lucas Giolito and Ronaldo Lopez going to the Angels for, I hope, the best, at least a catcher that can do something for this baseball team. But it's never easy. It's sad. Baseball is romantic. It's different from the other sports because you don't see in the middle of the season five or six players departing in football or certainly the NBA like you do in Major League Baseball, and especially guys that you've seen. Some of them have been in the organization six, seven, eight longer years like that. But I think we're going to see more, and hopefully the best for Lucas Giolito. He's going to help the Angels, so I think good for them. They're going to take a swing at it with Shohei Ohtani, and why not? You get hot at the right time, you never know what's going to happen, right?
Yeah, the Angels just 3.5 back on a wild card chase, and they're not going to move Ohtani. Giolito is a tremendous addition, I think. And I can tell you this, Twins fans are not sad to see him leave the Central Division. His ERA over the last 10 starts against the Twins was 2.
Yeah. Well, he was...
As opposed to Lance Lynn.
I will
his
not...
His ERA first inning was 9, I think.
I am not going to be up and, thinking about no-hitters, et cetera, when Lance Lynn goes. Nothing against him personally. Hey, the Sox have not, and you and I talked about this as well. The Sox have not had a good catcher since AJ Pierzynski. They have the Cubs stole, I think, 11 bases. I think it was 11 in two nights, and they were when they walked or got a single, it was basically a double. And good for David Ross, he figured out that the White Sox pitchers can't hold anyone, and the catchers can't throw anybody out. So, it gives you a big, big advantage when you can have a double every time you get on base. But holy cow. Will miss Lucas Giolito. And like I said, I'm sure that he is not going to be the last one to leave the room in Chicago on the south side anyway. So we'll see. We'll talk with Cal Eldred coming up on Tuesday of next week about that. And we'll talk about our topic coming up tomorrow. We'll take a look at the weekend in sports and more on the Friday edition of the Gym Class. Who knows? Colorado and maybe others might be in the Big 12 by tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Todd Brommelkamp show is next from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. And Mark and Isaac, have good nights, guys. And we'll do her again tomorrow afternoon. How's that?
You as well. Talk then.
All right. You're listening to the Gym Class right here on KGYM, presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Again, check them out online at dupaco.com. Back with you tomorrow at 3. Have a great night.
Will they find a home? Sponsored by Geico. Susan has always wanted to live in a chateau.
I like a certain je ne sais quoi.
While Jake is more into the Cape Cod style home.